another question I'd like to ask you is what former players were still around in the club when during your playing days? I mean, were people like Digger Morris?
Digger was high profile.
Tell us about Digger.
But Digger always a lively, robust, not to say noisy character, always a friendly soul. He used to like to take a shine to Mickey Burton and what have you, and loved to encourage the prop forwards and what have you. He was quite a character because he was an ex Coney Hill lad, wasn't he? Always a very nice person to talk to, always very friendly, always had a nice word for me, you know, but never had anything to say against Digger. Tom Day was a Qantas committee man. Again, he used to kick my ass and say, get on with your rugby, you're a bloody fool, come on, we'll move on. Gordon Hudson, former player. Roy Sutton, although Roy Sutton was committee man as well. They were very, all our committee were ex-players. Reverend Hughes, obviously.
Oh, yes. Tell us about Mervyn Hughes.
Mervyn came to his following, i.e. the church. He used to come away with us, and on the way back when they're singing the songs, especially when Baggy Hudson and John Herbert, and they used to know every blessed song under the world that was printed. Of course, some of them were a bit raunchy, rowdy, and what have you. And I remember, getting off the coach, and he said, "Well, Harold, I think we got beaten today, but I think the church got a bigger beating because of the songs that Baggy and Brian were singing, you know, on the way back." But
didn't he play the piano?
Mervyn? I don't know. We never had that privilege. The point I'm making that he stuck it out and listened to all these rowdy songs and if you've got Baggy Hudson and John Herbert starting up, it was, and they just knew all the words intimately, you know, and deliberately, obviously, sung it loud next to Mervyn's ear, of course, you know. Yeah.
I was told a story that Mervyn participated in that until you got to the boundary of the Gloucester diocese.
Yeah.
He wouldn't do it within the diocese.
Oh, right. Yeah. No, certainly I recall that little statement he made. You know, we got a beating today, Harold, but I think the church took a bigger beating.
Yeah. I think he knew the tunes, but not the words.
Well, even once he was ex-Cambridge Blue, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Mervyn, wasn't he? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Welsh trialist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you come across Doc Alcock?
He was president when I was around. Didn't have a great deal to do with Dr. Alcock. Again, always very polite to me as a person, as indeed probably was polite to everyone anyway. But I didn't have a great deal to do with Doc. But apart from, he probably knew us all. Can't regrettably class him as a total personal friend, that sort of that way, but nothing to speak against him.
And he never operated on you.
He never had
force
to operate. No, he never had force to operate. No.
And how about Tom Voice?
I didn't bump into Tom that much. He suffered obviously terribly from the sight problem, and probably wouldn't recognise you half the time. If you were close to him, he'd probably recognise you more than his voice, I think, as I understand it. But I didn't get to know Tom that well. And how long was Tom around for a while? Until we got his year of his demise.
60-61, when you play, he was president of the RFU.
Yeah. I didn't get to know him, I'm afraid, that well.
But did you hear any stories of him?
Not really. No. I'm sorry,
right.
General. I can't enlarge much on that.
From your time as a player, Who would you pick out as the players you would always want in your side?
The two pair of halfbacks, Hoppy and Boothing, because they argue like buggery between each other at times, and but they were the most efficient rugby players I ever come across in my playing career. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Boothy used to was torrid to me at times, so he used to, you know, he was in awe to me, sort of thing. And I was fearsome of missing tackles when I was playing against him, because if he was he had to look after his side, and I had to look after my side. If I missed my tackle, and if I did anything bad, but then he probably might have had that sensation that not deliberately. It was just that Mickey was such an efficient footballer,
yeah.
You know. And, he was. But, Boothie and Hoppy, I think those would be my. I'd start at that as my dream team, let's put it that way,
yeah.
You know, as a combination, as a pair. As a pair.
Yeah. Any others stick out like that?
Obviously, Ibby from his wing forward, I always remember Ibby. Peter, obviously, for his charge down ability. I haven't seen Yian Sheem, he was a vet. Here for a short period, he was an incredible player. You know, get tackled and he'd still be running on his knees. It's incredible how he did it. I don't know, but I'm feverishly trying to recall those players that really. Tony Davis. Now, Tony Davis was of my build, my ilk, my. He had similar features to me, and the fact that I got a few county caps. Etc. It was. It's down to him, I'm sure. They saw these bodies, and it was. And I got. I think pitched out as probably doing the most.
Yeah.
But it was him as well. You know, he was a great, great friend of mine. Mike Nick, obviously, for his hooking ability. You know, incredible guy to know.
Seem to be quite a lot of players who. Pick Mike Nichols out as the best captain they ever played under, would you say that?
Well, unfortunately I didn't play under him because I was a captain of United that season,
right.
And so I never had the privilege of playing under Mike as a captain. We were competitors, obviously I was captain of United, he was captain of Gloucester, so we got on well. He was a couple of years younger than me at school, we were in the same pier, so we didn't mix with each other then, apart from his Centralia thing. No, I suppose being United captain and he being the first captain, that's when I got to know him, or we got to know each other reasonably well then.
Yeah. How long did you captain the United for?
Only for the one season.
I just
that's what I wanted to do, finish my playing career as captain. I recall at the players' meeting, they all moaned like, why am I taking on for another? Mike Nichols was the first one. Come on, why are you taking? No, that was it, Mike. I wanted it. Because that was, I think I was telling you, Mark, over lunch on Saturday. That 71-72 season of the United was one of the most enjoyable and successful in results that we as a United side had. And I think one of the press releases, which are now in the archives, outlines that fact that the United side was one of the most successful sides at that time, and primarily because I think I don't know what I said it before, but I used to tell them make the ball do the work, you know, very simple philosophy. Don't get tackled if you're a three quarter, because you're no good to me if you're on the floor, and back up all the time.
But I would imagine actually running the United 15 was quite a tricky job, wasn't it? Because, you know, you'd be forever losing best players first team.
You know, we were talking about our relationship prior to this interview. We were talking about our relationship to the local scene,
yeah.
The combination. And I found myself trying to be a bit of a liaison officer. And when we were getting a bit short, I was going around, you know, trying to fill up our United side, because again, I don't know if you recall, we went on strike once, the United side, and I was pilloried as the instigator of it all.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yes. Oh, you're going to ask me that.
Talk us through it, Hal.
Well, that was back in the 60, 61 when you obviously had a first class first team. You had a United side who were seen just to support the first team. But invariably, when we used to go across the bridge, i.e., to any Welsh side, the United side, we found ourselves with 12, 13 players. And as soon as we were getting off the coach, we had the embarrassing situation, anybody want a game, guys, you know. And I thought, well, for a first-class club, and Gloucester getting off the coach shouldn't be doing this. And after about six or seven occasions, you know, going over and this happening, I think we were playing something like Bargoed or something like that, you know, one of the Welsh Valley sides. We probably only had 12 or 13 guys. And I said to whoever was committee man that day, Roy Parry, I think I remember. I said, Roy, I'm going over the White Hart. You get a side and I'll come. But this is silly, going away every time. And the other guys, for their support sins, they followed me over to the pub as well. Including one of those, Mickey Burton, because he almost to this day feels I led him astray on that day. in publicity terms, it hit obviously the local press, it hit Radio 4 and what have you. It Gloucester United went on strike. Obviously, I got reprimanded wholly by the committee and told not to do anything like it again. But from that day, or from that time, we had the election of a team secretary. So the Gloucester club then, on the whole, went away with a four United side and wasn't just thought as a mop-up for the first side. It's a higher honour, isn't it? Used to do these after-minute speaks, and if I was in the audience, oh God, he used to pick me out, and that's the man who led me astray.
It'd be a good title, wouldn't it, for an autobiography? The man who led Mickey Burton astray.
Yeah, just imagine, yeah. Doesn't matter, think about it, does it?
Mickey Burton, striker in every sense.
Yes.
What was the relationship like with the local clubs at that time? Because the Gloucester club had this arrangement with the local clubs for 100 years to supply players, but there were times when that happened quite regularly,
well,
and times when I think the local clubs resented it.
It was certainly time, and I'll give you a classic example. In as much at one time, United used to play the combination. And I was playing wing forward, and John Watkins was playing wing forward. And, of course, John was such an outstanding player then. He was well above all us in the back row in Gloucester United. And I said, John, you've got to come down to Gloucester, you know. And he said, no, I don't want to come down at the moment. I'm still happy, with my local club. And of course, loyalty, was a great thing. But likewise, there was certainly, a reticence to let players go to come for the United, and I suppose it was fair dues, in as much it, when we were let down at 12 o'clock, you know, wanted to go running around like mad, they would be the same sort, the owners would put on them, but so there was no real tangible relationship in that respect, and some of the clubs just felt that they weren't being held in too high esteem by Gloucester, sort of thing. But it wasn't a good, in my time anyway, it wasn't a good total good relationship we had with the local sides.